Alrighty, Pope. Welcome
back. Hey there, Nudie.
Hello, Pope. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You know, not too bad. I'm moving, so I got a lot of boxes everywhere, but doing pretty good.
But you know who else isn't moving?
Who is not moving, Pope? Lay it on me.
Gordon Hayward.
Stay word. No, I'm just kidding. Stay word. No, but really, we got to talk about that tonight, today, because that's actually kind of a big deal. That's pretty much like the biggest thing going on this season for the Jazz.
Kind of, yeah.
So, which everyone has acknowledged. But yeah, so anyways, we'll just dive right in. We gotta talk about a few things. They announced the All-NBA teams this past week, which was a big deal for the Jazz in multiple positive and negative. And there's also the draft lottery for everyone who likes to watch the lottery that's not rigged, apparently. but, you know, so we're going to jump right into that. But first off, we'll go to the All-NBA team. You know, as they vote on it, and there's three centers. They have to be listed as centers. And then the six forwards and six guards. But a pleasant surprise was Rudy Gobert this year named as a second team all-center. Pope, do you think he deserved it?
Definitely. I think he's way up there. The thing is that the rules are weird. That, you know, like Draymond Green isn't listed as a center.
But he still made it. He did still make it.
Yeah, he was on the third team. Yeah. But so, like, I mean, I think pretty clearly, I think all NBA is Draymond Green, Anthony Davis. But then I think Rudy's right there, you know. And I definitely think Rudy deserves it, but I also think like positions are weird right now. But I think Rudy is 100% an all NBA level player. Just the improvement he had this year with like really developing into a strong offensive force for us and like leading the league in blocks. Like,
he's excellent. Oh yeah, no, and yeah, it's what you said. You know, it's kind of all NBA is different than the All-Star voting. All-Star voting, it's front court, back court, right? So you could have no centers voted into the All-Star game, and that would be normal. Which is, you know, and you look at that, Gobert did not make the All-Star team this year. But yeah, all NBA has to be listed as a center, and so he was second team, and actually he almost beat out Anthony Davis for the first team. And I think that's, you know, I just think that speaks volumes to the amount of work he's done. Like you said, I mean, he's just, it's night and day difference from when he was drafted. And, you know, he was drafted, he was tall, he was long, he was athletic. And so people were like, oh yeah, he could be really good. But he was in the D League his whole first year, pretty much. And as soon as Quinn Snyder benched Cantor for Gobert, it just turned into this like insane, like he's just developed really well. And it was cool reading. I think just last week he announced it. He is not going to play for the French national team this summer. He's going to stay in Utah to work on his game. So,
wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a big deal. Cause you know, playing for your country is it's pretty special and pretty unique to be able to play with your fellow countrymen, represent your team, if you're patriotic and all that. And I just think it speaks a lot to his game and to his dedication and competitiveness where he understands that his job is to win games for the Jazz, to get better, and that's how he wants to do that. And he understands the best.
Where do you think his game goes from here? Because he's athletic and he's so long and tall, but I don't think he's quick enough to that, you know, he could develop a shot, but I don't really think that would work well
in
our offense. You know, where do you think his game goes
from here? So I think I think they'll work on a post game though. I don't think it'll be like mid range shots by any means. Uh-huh. I mean, defensively, I don't, you know, they'll always work on his quickness, but I don't think the Jazz don't expect him to be like Draymond Green, you know, like, or Kawhi. They don't expect him to be switching back and forth. The Jazz, part of the reason their defense works so well is they purposely funnel people into Gobert, you know. That's part of the defensive game plan where our guards and our perimeter guys can be really aggressive, knowing that if they drive in, Gobert's there. Whereas for Golden State, they rely on switching and kind of keeping you out of the paint, keeping you on the perimeter because, you know, you can't get in past them, essentially. Whereas I think the Jazz would much prefer Quinn Snyder to get into the paint.
Yeah, like Quinn has always run like fast Spurs-esque ball moving switching offenses, But I mean, I think the sign of a good coach is once he saw like what Rudy was, then he slowed everything down.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's down in the paint, and then everyone else is out around. And I just think he, for being a fairly stereotypical center, he's the best like kind of that you could have in this modern NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not Draymond Green. He's not Anthony Davis. He's not even Karl Anthony Towns, but he's way better than, you know, the other players in his style, like Draymond, or like DeAndre Jordan or Hassan Whiteside.
Right.
He's definitely much better than that. And I think, if he could consistently be like 18, 22 points a game, that would mean a lot to our team.
It would be great. And, you know, so I think that's why they're going to look for, again, I think Quinn Snyder's smart and he recognizes what he has and what he can do with it. And I think for Gobert, they're going to continue working on – he's already one of the best screeners in the game as far as the pick-and-roll game goes. But I think they'll work on that finishing because, you know, there's a few times – and I love him, but there's a few times where he gets it and he's not as strong as maybe DeAndre Jordan, those guys. And so he doesn't finish in traffic as well, or he can't really get a – he doesn't have enough of like an offensive toolbox, I guess, to really – be crafty around the basket. And he's good. Like, that's not saying he's not good, but I just think that would be the next logical thing. And then free throws. He already made a big jump in free throws from last year to this year. And so I assume he'll continue working on that because I think he knows teams are going to hack him unless he makes his free throws.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like I said, he did substantially better this year compared to last year. So that's what I would expect. I think he'll just continue to get better. They'll work on strength, finishing, and then, you know, hopefully that'll just come with it. It'll be interesting next year when, I mean, he really is. I mean, it kind of happened towards the end of the year, and he was great, but he really is a focal point of the Jazz now, you know?
Yeah.
We're coming into the season, they knew he was good, and they knew he was good on defense, but no one really knew what to expect with his offense. So that's what I think, and like I said, it was great to see Gobert make the All-NBA team, and I was really glad he made it over DeAndre Jordan and Hassan Whiteside because those are the people he kind of gets compared to sometimes. And so it was cool to see the media kind of respect him and say, like, you know, he's our guy. Sad news, the Jazz also – Hayward was up for All-NBA consideration, and he actually did not make any of the teams. He was not one of the six forwards selected. There was LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. You know, so they're big-name guys beating him out. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't really fault that. I mean, the NBA is very top-heavy right now, but also, like, talented throughout. And, I mean, Jimmy Butler was incredible this year.
Yeah.
There's nothing against that. And just positionally, you know, like, you have people like DeMar DeRozan in there.
Yeah.
Who are, you know, like, he's good, but it's – and Draymond Green's listed as a forward. Like, positionally, like, things are weird.
Yeah, and to be fair, DeRozan was listed as a guard, I believe.
Yeah, I know, which, like – and he – but –
yeah, he's not really.
He's listed as a guard, but a guard in, you know, 90% of the NBA teams today don't play like DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
He is a different game from the rest of the guards in the league, even though, you know, he is a guard. But so it's a bummer. He's an excellent player. The NBA is really top heavy right now. I just don't think there was room with him, especially when, you know, you have like between Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Gordon Hayward, like between those three, and then those were the only three I think vying for that slot, and I think Jimmy Butler did have the better season.
Yeah, but you know, and I will argue, I think Jimmy Butler was great. Yeah, and that's, I can't take him off the team. He's awesome, and that's good for him. But yeah, it's a little disappointing to see, I guess, how the voting finished, right? Because it was kind of, most people I think looked at it like Paul George, Hayward. If one of them can get that All-NBA team, it'll benefit their team. For those of you who don't know, if you make the there's a change in the collective bargaining agreement, and if your team that drafted you in the first round, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Pope, but if they drafted you in the first round and then you make the All-NBA team, they can offer you a Supermax contract, which is about $60 million more or $50 million or $40 million more than what you could make in a normal max contract. And so it's the idea being – if you draft a star, it's going to be benefited by that, I guess. where, but like it was kind of disappointing, I guess, to see what the media opinion was of Hayward, because not only did he not make the team, but he was, I think, eighth in voting. So he was,
I think it was ninth
or ninth in voting. I think it was ninth. And he was like 40 votes away from the next closest person, Paul George. And yeah, you know, Paul George is great. Jimmy Butler's great. Those guys are all great. But anyone who watched Hayward this season has to agree that he was deserving a little bit more respect and love in those votes, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he didn't make it. And now that puts the Jazz in kind of a tricky spot. Because we can't offer that Supermax anymore. And so, I mean, I guess my question is, do you think, Pope, that that's going to factor into his decision? Or do you think somewhere he kind of figured he wasn't going to make it anyways? Or, I mean, what do you think that – where does that leave the Jazz now with Hayward's free agency looming?
I mean, the whole – it's hard because, you know, at the end of the day, like we're trying to rank what things are important to stars, you know, is location for family, is, you know, money, is chance of winning. We're trying to rank all these things and say what's important. And we don't know what's most important to Gordon Hayward. We just don't.
Yeah.
That provision in the collective bargaining agreement is there to help, you know, small market teams like us keep big stars. But the problem is without that, the money situation is just a wash. You know, we're the only team that can offer him a 5-year max.
Yeah, we have the Bird year.
But yeah, and other teams can only offer him a 4-year max. But the problem is if he takes a 4-year max somewhere else and then after that signs another max contract, with the way the cap will go up and he'll be eligible for a supermax by that point since he'd be in his 10th season.
Oh yeah.
If he a 5-year deal here and then another max deal here and a 4-year deal somewhere else and then a max deal after that, it comes out we can only offer him, you know, we're like $2 million more right over in the end.
Yeah.
And so that's like that's nothing. So financially, we're as even with any other team, which is crazy, but it's how it is. So we don't really have that advantage.
Right.
So it really just comes down to how he feels about the situation and where he wants his family to live and how bad he wants to win and if he feels like he can win somewhere else more than he can win here. You know, all those things are just going on in his head. It's his decision. We have no real way of knowing those things. So
yeah.
But one, that financial advantage we thought we had, we now don't really have anymore.
Right. Well, and you know, we do have the extra year, which is nice.
If he wants some security, definitely.
Yeah. I think something else that might be a little interesting, and I've seen this floated around. Again, who knows what Hayward's thinking right now. I think he's on vacation in San Diego with his family or something. He might not even have thought about this enough yet. Another option is they could do similar to what LeBron James has done in Cleveland, if Hayward wants to, where it's a 2-year deal with the second-year player option. The idea being he does it betting on himself that he can make an All-NBA team after this year, and then next year signs the big contract and gets his Supermax that he wanted. I think that's great. I think the risk is if he regresses, maybe he doesn't make the – All-star or the All-NBA team and doesn't get that max. So I think you have to worry about that. Other thing, injuries can happen. You never know. But if Hayward's willing to – if he feels like he can make one of those All-NBA teams, if he feels like he's that close, then I think that 2-year deal with the second year being the option for him would be something intriguing for him because it'd give him time to give the Jazz one more shot, you know, with Hill, him, and Gobert all under contract to see like – is this really going to work out like we thought it would before the injuries? And then if he doesn't work out, he opts out. He's in the same place he is this year. It's just hard to know. And my inclination of watching Hayward and listening to him, I'm going to bet he didn't. Yeah, sure, he's mad he didn't make all the money off the Supermax. But I'll bet, you know, he's going to work just as hard no matter what, period. That's just who he is. He works hard. He's trying to get better. And, you know, I think it's going to come down to where he wants to play, what team is going to give him the best option to win, truthfully. because I think he, like you said, pretty much anywhere he goes, he's going to make similar money, you know?
Yeah.
There isn't that much of a disparity where for, you know, and, or for us, at least it looks like that, where I don't think he would say, well, no, I need that extra $2 million in Utah, so I'm going to stay here, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it, I think, I mean, the way the money works out for it being, you know, just about the same elsewhere, that requires him to be worth a supermax in 2020,
basically. Right, whenever he finishes this contract, his next one.
So that, presumably. I mean, that, so he'd be what, how old, he's 28.
Is he 28?
27 and 28. Yeah. I mix it up all the time.
Yeah, he's
27. He's 27. He turns 28 soon. So he's 27. So he'd be around 31, 32 by the time that contract would come up for the net, for the Supermax.
Yeah.
So he would have to be – he would have to be worth the Supermax at that point.
Right.
And I mean, I think he's a great player. I think he will probably only improve, you know.
Yeah.
He'll still be pretty young, so he probably should be worth the Supermax at that point. But, I mean, that is a bet. And I think the signing the 1 or 2 year deal here and hoping to get in the All-NBA, that's also a bet. And it just comes down to his priorities, his stability. And all of, like, and we just don't know. You know, like, right. Quick little rant. Between, like, Bill Simmons and I feel like 40% of sports writers out there being Boston natives or whatever. Right. There's so much just Boston media out there who are all just like, oh man, Gordon Hayward. Like,
well, they have like an ESPN Boston directly for Boston, you know? So
yeah, I know. Well, just, and they're not saying like, oh, he's definitely coming here, but they're just like, so man, yeah. So that's, you know, we'll get the number one pick. We'll do this. We'll get Gordon Hayward. That's the plan, you know? And that's just, it's all assumed. But I mean, no one knows what his priorities are. Yeah. And I say that as a hopeful Jazz fan because I hope his priorities are family and mountains and French, like tall Frenchmen. I hope those are his priorities.
I think that's one of his top priorities, tall Frenchmen. So it's a good thing the Jazz drafted Gobert because
DL's pretty tall. Like, we got two, Hayward. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It's, and so we'll see. It's the scary thing to me is how it's worked out. He didn't make the All-NBA, and then the Boston Celtics in the draft lottery, due to their steal of a trade that they made with the Nets for like an old Kevin Garnett and old Paul Pierce.
There was 2 months where that looked like a smart trade, and then everyone's like, oh wait, they're so old. So.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second. And so Boston got the number one overall pick in the draft this year. And again, maybe the draft picks don't pan out like they want them to, or maybe – you never know. But Boston now you got Hayward who says, okay, Boston can sign me for a 4-year max. They've got Al Horford who's pretty good offensively. Isaiah Thomas who's really good offensively. He's all-star. Avery Bradley's pretty good defensively. They got the number one overall pick this year. They had the number 3 or 4 pick last year. And next year they have the Nets pick again. Thanks, Brooklyn, for that. So I think he could look and say, wow, like there's a shot this team can be great. Where I think Boston might not be as tempting is draft picks are very uncertain. You know, you could draft Kevin Durant and he's a superstar forever, the whole time he's in the league, or LeBron James, and that's awesome. You can draft,
or in that same draft, you can draft Greg Oden.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You draft Greg Oden, who looks like, man, this is a can't miss prospect. Tears his ACL, keeps breaking things. He's out of the league.
Tears every ligament in his body.
Has skin for paper skin and glass bones. You know, it's just you could look at Trey Burke in Utah. They traded up for him? They really liked him. Didn't pan out. So it's, you know, or you look at Hayward, someone who did pan out, but it did take him a little bit to develop. So I just don't think there's as much certainty there. Whereas if you look at the Jazz, yeah, we're young, but at the same time, our young team has all played together, like played in the league for a few years now. So you're not going to be depending on three or four first and second year players in your rotation. You're depending on people like Rudy Gobert, who's been in the league now for 3 or 4 years, and Derek Favors, who's been the same time as Hayward, and you know, all these guys. So I think it's a little more certain. I think the potential could possibly be greater in Boston, but you just don't know.
Yeah, and I definitely think the potential is there. Again, as a hopeful Jazz fan, yeah, I realize, yeah, I probably sound crazy. But, I mean, look at how Boston is doing the playoffs, you know?
Yeah. They would have lost that first round series to Chicago if Rondo hadn't gone down.
Seriously. And the series to the Wizards was like two different shots away from,
right,
you know, falling apart for the Boston. They're not at that level. They're not at the top tier. And I mean, the top tier is just Golden State and
Cleveland.
And Cleveland, and then maybe the Spurs on like their best night
with Kawhi Leonard really, healthy, maybe.
Yeah, with Kawhi Leonard. Really, it's Golden State, a step down Cleveland, three steps down the Spurs, like 15 steps down everyone else.
Yeah.
And they still don't have that MVP caliber player. Isaiah Thomas is amazing offensively, doesn't give you anything defensively, and I think he's an awesome player. He's not at that MVP caliber level, you know. He's not the kind of player you can build a championship team around.
Right. Well, and he himself, Isaiah Thomas himself, has said in interviews in these playoffs that he might be the worst defender in the NBA, but it doesn't matter because he scores. And that's true sometimes, but, you know.
Yeah.
But just going on with your point, yeah, he's great. I think he's awesome, but you don't know.
No, yeah, I'm just saying that, like, I don't think their team right now, I don't think is that much closer to a championship than we are.
Right.
So that's when, like, this year's number one pick and next year's pick. But who knows how long that'll take? Who knows how soon? Like, Markelle Fultz should be pretty, like, ready to contribute out of the gate.
Yeah, you
but
think
who knows,
so.
Like, and he has a high ceiling, but, I mean, it's still just a ceiling. Like, you don't know.
Exactly. And he's a guard.
So, does he want to sign up for a team where the best, like the future star is a rookie? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no,
and that's. But then again, like, I'm like criticizing Boston for not having an MVP. It's not like we do, you know. But I think our team is constructed well. I think Boston is constructed well. I mean, that's why I personally think there's a much higher chance than a lot of people are saying that Boston trades the pick and tries to get like Paul George or something.
Yeah, which would be awesome for us, because I don't think if they trade for Paul George, I don't think they keep the salary space for Hayward.
I don't know. I mean, they have so many small contracts there. Like, I mean, that's what I think. I think they will try to do Paul George, Crowder, and the pick, Crowder, Smart for Paul George or something, and maybe like next year's pick too. I don't know.
And then sign Hayward then in addition to that.
Use the cap space for Hayward, and then that's the team.
Man, that'd be scary.
But I think that's a promising looking team. I think that's a weird team. Like, Isaiah Thomas is a weird fit with those players. Isaiah Thomas is very very ball dominant, and I think Gordon Hayward can play
off the ball
more. I think Paul George can as well, but I think that's a weird fit. And then I think Al Horford is really good. I think he's maybe the fifth best player on a championship team. You know, like he's not lighting the world on fire for you.
Yeah, he's solid, but he's not.
I don't think their team is as 100% solid as everyone kind of talks about them.
Yeah.
And I think our team is right currently as constructed, I think our team is just as good.
No, that's a good point. I'm with you on that. And that I mean, that's an interesting thing with the trade for George. And I mean, that would be, rumor has it Paul George likes Hayward, wants to play with Hayward someday, but I would hate that. That'd be so miserable. But I'm with you. Optimistic Jazz fan. I think he'll stay. I don't know. I will say I've only heard a lot of people in the media have said like they think Hayward might stay with the Jazz. But I don't know if you saw Jeff Van Gundy did an interview with like the radio station in Utah, the 1280, whatever that is. But he thought he was really – first off, he was really complimentary of the Jazz in general. He said Quinn Snyder's an excellent coach. He said he's like an elite coach in the NBA. And he said he loves the competitiveness of Gobert. He thinks that's like something that not all players have, which is true. But he – and then he – but he his opinion on the Hayward thing, because, you know, everyone has to talk about it, is he thinks Hayward's already made up his mind and knows what he's going to do. And so as soon as free agency opens, it's going to be really quick. He said, I think he's going to stay in Utah and he'll finish. I think his words were he'll see the project through. I think that's what he said. I think his whole point was simply being like, look, he's worked hard. He's developed a lot. The Jazz have grown as a team. He's the center, the focal point of the offense and the team and the face of the franchise. And I think he'll finish. He'll continue with that because it's, you know, he's it's his work. It's what he's done. So I don't know.
I think there's a good case for both sides, and I don't think it's weighted really to Boston, to us or whatever. Yeah. I think the case for both is good, and it just depends on what he values. We'll probably just wake up on the free agency day and he signs with the Heat. Like, who knows? Like,
or the Warriors. Something
dumb could way have it. Oh, I would hate that. I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, I know. We'll see. And this will be the talk of every Jazz fan's going to be sweating until free agency, until Hayward signs with the team. It's just going to be, you know. It's the most stressful free off season we've had in quite some time. We traded Darren Williams before he finished his contract for Favors, and Favors we signed. It was not like Favors likes Utah. He's cool staying here. And like everyone else, it's kind of like, oh yeah, they stayed, or, oh, like we didn't re-sign Wesley Matthews. Dang it. I liked him, but not a franchise changing player.
Yeah.
Whereas this, like, Hayward leaves, puts the Jazz back, could put us back in rebuild slightly. He stays, we continue our ascent, you know. But we'll see. So it's looking good. All we can do is just hope and hope that Hayward really likes Utah. That's it.
Yep.
So, but I mean, I don't know. I think the Jazz are poised to do well. Dennis Lindsay always kind of surprises in free agency. Like, who saw him pulling Joe Johnson out of his hat last year? Like, that was I mean, I didn't even know Joe Johnson was a free agent last year, and all of a sudden he's on our team. And so I think Dennis Lindsay will do his job and look around and get who he needs to and fill in some gaps. And I think it should be exciting. I think it should be a good summer for the Jazz. So
It'll be a roller coaster no matter what happens.
But, yeah, so anyways, we'll be back to you, I guess, next time. We'll talk more free agency. We'll dive more into that.
I think we need to do a full pod on just, like, assume Hayward stays. What do we do then? Assume Hayward leaves. What's the next step?
Right. And because really that – I know we keep harping on it, but, like, that's a – this is a big deal for Jazz fans. So
I mean, yeah, it's for any team, like when your number one player is a free agent and he's thinking about going somewhere else, like, you freak out, you know? And
right. Yeah, it's
because you stick for a franchise.
It's similar. I'm not gonna put him on the same level as Kevin Durant, because I know Kevin Durant is a freak of nature, just really good.
Kevin Durant is the same as Gordon Hayward, says Alex Knudsen.
Quote me in that. Put me in the paper. But, you know, similar to last year where Oklahoma City's like, hey, we were so close. We almost beat Golden State and then we lost our 3-1 lead. We should have won, blah, 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 blah. Kevin Durant, I think, will stay. And then he went to the Warriors. And it's like, oh, no. So, like, it's a similar thing for us where it's like, oh, man, we're doing so good. We made it to the playoffs, won our first series, ran into the Warriors, but, you know, they're good. So we're looking so good. And we just hope it's a different outcome. So, but yeah, so we'll catch you guys up later in upcoming weeks as the free agency gets closer and the draft gets closer about kind of what we think the Jazz should do. But yeah, so stay tuned for that.
All right, we'll catch you later, Nudie.
See you later, Pope.